Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 49, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Thursday, September 20th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I Jerk Bacon, a.k.a. Cabin O'Jerk, a.k.a. Baron Jock, a.k.a. In Joke Crab, a.k.a. Jane O'Brick, John Bike Car, Be Rick, Joan, Join Backer, A Job Nicker, and Bocker Ninja. Those are all courtesy of Hannah Saltis.
Hey, be Rick, Joan.
Hey, Joan, be Rick.
Be Rick.
And
okay,
I'm thrilled.
I'm Rick.
Fine. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
How do you want it? How do you feel? Coming up as a blazing in the Zeit Gang, living as the Miles Gray, I'm for real. I kind of messed that up, but hey, you know, it's about the sentiment, and that comes from the beloved at Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi main, which I think is Bombing of Dresden, your Reddit name, because I figured I put the matrix together. Yes, thank you for that, AKA.
All right. Mine were anagrams, in case people didn't know that. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest stand-up comedians and most interesting dudes out here, Mr. Ryan Singer.
Hey!
What's up?
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, man.
We're thrilled to be back.
Is it third time?
Once again. Once again.
Second
time? Or second?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you were on the Crack Podcast.
It's all blending together.
Well, Ryan, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the fact that Kylie Jenner just had cereal with milk for the first time, and various things that we've not done that we should have. We're going to talk about this Kavanaugh thing just spinning out into history's most predictable clusterfuck. We are going to talk about the president being in the Carolinas, just healing hearts and minds with his tactfulness. We're going to talk about how he's also just ready to bring this whole democracy thing crashing down around us with some very targeted declassifications.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk some internet debating around the subject of whether Bert and Ernie fuck each other. We're going to talk about the fact that Sony is launching the PlayStation Classic again, but as like one of those little versions that you can buy, hook up to your
games are preloaded.
Televisor. And then finally, we're going to play the game of the century, Velocipede or Scooter. But first, Ryan, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, I've got two things that are very closely related, if that's all right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please.
Let's do it.
And I think it really tells a lot who I am. I had to Google the lyrics for Beans, Beans, the musical fruit.
The more you eat, the more you toot.
Yes.
And that's all I know.
Yeah, I couldn't remember all the words to that song, so I had to, and it was like a desperate
The more you
Google.
Toot, the better you feel, so eat your beans at every meal?
There are apparently
many versions.
So many versions out there. But yeah, that's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, because we grew up in the same place.
And so then I also had to Google Morse code audio detector because I received a voicemail from an unknown number that I thought may have been a Morse code.
Wow. And you want to decrypt the message.
And it just turns out it was a voicemail from a phone that probably had the worst connection in the world. But I was like, oh, man, this is like, you know what this is like?
S?
I hear some beeps in here.
S?
And so it took me a while. So then I had to download the voicemail.
Holy
then
shit.
I had to, you know, send it to my computer. And then I had to upload it to this site. And it turns out it was just a lot of the letter A and D. Which I have not been able to decrypt that code yet at this point.
So
I think it's telling you you have ADD.
Yeah, it may have been. Because
or you're a Dadaist.
I mean, this was all at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
as of course. I would.
If you said it was in the waking hours, I'd be like, something's going on with you.
Yeah, and that so like after the results came in on that on the Morse code audio detector, I realized, you know what? Maybe I should just kind of, you know, get out and do some normal stuff.
Right.
Nah, you know, man.
Because I can get into like the weird, and I can kind of get lost in the weird stuff a little too much sometimes.
Did you ever sing that song that was like, this land is my land, this land is yours.
You, but
the joke version?
Yeah.
What
I
was
got
the joke
a shotgun, and you don't got one. I'll blow your head off.
No, if you don't,
if
get,
you don't
off,
get off.
Oh, we flipped it. Okay. This land was made for poop and pee.
Oh, we didn't have poop and pee.
Oh, yeah. That's how we rocked it in L.A. as a kid.
I'll blow your head off. You don't get off. The... Yeah, I forget how we ended that.
We
forget
we
how we brought
pee.
That one home.
Yeah, we brought it home with poop and pee.
Yeah, because it's like land. It's not basically telling you to get off the toilet, right?
I don't know. It's just this man. This land is my land. It's not your land. I got a shotgun. You don't got one. If you don't get off, I'll blow your head off. This land is made for poop and pee. It's what 6-year old kids say to get in trouble.
I mean, without the poop and pee, it's very menacing. It's like it could just be a thing about like xenophobia, which is I think how I learned it when I lived in West Virginia. Oh, so that makes sense.
Maybe you know what? That's me being oblivious to how like awful the song is when a bunch of like kids are screaming and you're like, yeah, wait, what is that?
I think mine ended, this land was made for only me.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Get the fuck off my land,
California's more woke, so we just joked it up.
Yeah, you just joked it up.
Poop and pee, because we all poop and pee.
That's a great punch up. I'm going to go back to the neighborhood I grew up in and tell the kids.
Yeah.
There's so many different versions of all those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm always curious to know what second base is like when you slide into first and your pants are about to burst.
Diarrhea.
And you go into second. I used to say, and a bird begins to peck it. Because I didn't know the words. Like, I don't know what
the words
for
second. I didn't
even
realize there was a sequence. We just had them, like, isolated.
When you're sliding into third and you feel
a giant turd.
Yeah. And then home, is foam. Pants are full of foam.
Yeah.
Second.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Pants are full of foam, bro.
Wow. Yeah. It's so
you got
funny.
That bubbly. You got
yo,
that
I
bubbly.
I didn't have the structure.
You got come that on, bubbly.
We didn't have structure. We just had isolated ones. You'd just be like, when you're in a 57 Chevy and your pants are feeling heavy, diarrhea.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then
that's
we
good
just
one.
Ended. And then we'd be like, what's another one? When you're blah, blah. It was, we didn't have the first, second, third home. Like structure.
Well, we didn't have second, though, so we weren't completed, that I know of. Wait, when you're sliding into second and you're
no, I didn't. No,
second?
This is the first time I'm hearing about first and home, though.
Maybe that's why I had to, like, just kind of come up with a bird begins to peck it.
Yeah.
Peck it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is no second.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Hey, Zykang, if you know what sliding into second diarrhea is, let us know. Shout it out. What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated I said wet wipes. I came up with wet wipes.
Mm. Wet wipes?
Yeah, wet wipes.
Overrated?
Overrated.
Like for your asshole?
Yeah.
Swear by those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could get a little holier than thou on this one just because of how they can be so bad from the environment.
Oh, right. Because they say, like, you shouldn't really flush those shit.
Well,
right?
Not all of them are biodegradable or flushable, but people kind of just flush them all. And England had a huge problem with this, I guess, a few years back. Where it was like really backing up the sewers and everything. And some of the pictures are just really grotesque where you get basically these like barges or these like dams in the sewer system of just wet wipe.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's pretty gnarly stuff.
Well, welcome to the Daily Butt Wipe.
Yes.
So what's a better version?
A bidet.
Oh, yeah, just hose it
probably
off.
Probably the most underrated, I mean, bidet. I mean, that'll change your life. I mean, a good bidet.
I learned a lot the first time I used it.
I guess this is kind of all kind of but.
Poop related.
Beans, a musical fruit.
Diarrhea, xenophobia, and butt wipes.
Yeah.
I think, the first time, the bidet is a real, it's something else. And now that we have like those, if that brand wants to sponsor us, we can name check you. But you could put the attachment now to make any toilet bidetable in the U.S. You know, that
I've got like a bidet off eBay, and I got to tell you, don't buy used. I mean, everyone knows don't buy used. Hopefully.
Don't buy used.
You can't buy used.
But you said it like, you're like, don't buy used. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Wait, why?
I thought we all were using the same bidet. There's a type of bidet in Europe that they have that is just the hand nozzle from the side of a sink, you know?
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like a hose with a hand nozzle. Mm-hmm. But that kind of grosses me out because...
You got to touch it.
Yeah, you're touching
like
it.
You, really
you know
it.
That you're touching something that somebody was touching when they'd just gone to the bathroom, and
I'm sure they
it's
have
also
tips.
There's like all sorts of like places for germs to hide on something like that.
That's why I'm terrified of zippers.
Yeah, zippers.
Zippers.
They can hide anything.
Oh, wow.
Nature's petri dish.
Yeah.
I mean, like the zipper has to be the most place in the world, right?
Yeah,
I
probably.
I was reading something that like the top of a toilet seat is actually even grosser. Anyway, who knows? Anyway, the world is covered in germs.
Yeah, it is. And I guess we just have to, the more we're exposed to them, the more we can build up a tolerance to them, maybe?
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
That was the bidet, I think.
Yeah.
The bidet is underrated.
But
okay.
Yeah, the bidet is underrated. All and right. I also think, oh my gosh, the Reese's Pieces filled Reese's Cups. Reese's cups that have just come out.
Everything's rhyming with feces now.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Feces, but outrageous is what we used to say.
I used to think that too much of a good thing is bad, right?
And, no, yeah.
You know, but like,
That unholy union.
The Reese's Pieces inside of the Reese's Cups is so good.
Yeah. Is it really?
It is. Wow. I wish
just
I didn't.
Just add some like crispiness
it's,
in there?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's Reception. Yeah.
It's,
Wow.
Wow, I got
to
try this.
So, but you have to get the king size. You got to get the king size cup. Yeah. Really lean into it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's.
I think that's what that book's about, right? Lean in?
Yeah.
It's about,
yeah.
It's about buying candy.
Buying candy. Yeah. What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Well, I've got a couple of these, but I think the one that I think that I know to be false, at least through personal experience, is you can't open a wine bottle with a shoe and bang it against a wall.
Fucking right.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. And I, man, and if anybody who was working on the Impolitics remember, when we were in Vegas, I bought a bottle of wine because I was just had to drink myself to sleep every night. And I didn't have a wine key or whatever. And I saw on YouTube or whatever, grainy video, use a shoe. I fucking shattered the fucking thing. And it got all over me. And the whole it was a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. And you'll like shake the foundation of your apartment. You'll get a noise violation. People will be like, someone is jackhammering in the apartment next to us. It just doesn't work.
But then I see videos of people actually doing it. And I'm like, am I not getting it?
Yeah, I think it's liars. Fixed. I think it's fixed. They like they
the fix is in.
Yeah, the fix is in somehow.
Wow.
No, there's probably some people who know how to do it, but it just sounds like it's not a good thing to attempt.
Here's the other thing. If you're going to drink that fucking bottle in one night anyway, push the fucking cork in.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the easier version. Yeah. You know what I mean? I used to do that until someone
cork
was like,
in.
Oh god.
Yeah.
But I don't drink enough wine to know the difference anyway, so
right. I don't either. I got really hillbilly white wine drunk at the Dwight Yoakam, Steve Earle, Lucinda Williams concert at the Greek Theater like a month ago. And I've never drank wine. And we drank, me and a buddy of mine split like two bottles
a
of white wine at the show.
Yeah, a couple carafes.
And then I stood up at the end of it and I was just like, whoa. I felt like I was on like a different, like there was different gravity.
Oh, right.
You know, like you're on Mars now. Like,
more
I'm not familiar with this gravity. It felt like there was
more gravity.
And it was fluctuating.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this isn't good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what brand of wine was that?
Yeah, seriously.
Man, last time I was at the Greek, I got super wine drunk too, watching the Gypsy Kings.
Oh,
Gypsy Kings.
With all the middle-aged people. It was a great show.
All right, guys, let's get into what people are talking and thinking about right now in the zeitgeist. Last night, Kylie Jenner admitted, or 2 nights ago, I don't know when this happened, September 18th, so 2 nights ago, Kylie Jenner admitted to the world, last night I had cereal with milk for the first time. Life-changing.
What?
So the food blog, The Takeout, decided to take this in an empowering direction. And rather than being like, what kind of pod were you raised in? They were just like, well, that's cool. We also have not had lots of food that people think is weird.
And movies, too.
That, it's a thing that like people have secret shame about things that they haven't experienced.
Food blind spots, as they call it.
But before
we get into that, how have you never experienced cereal with milk before?
I would say that 60% of my calories up to age 12 was cereal and milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like all I ate.
But also, we're old, washed people, so maybe this is like a new generation where kids are like, you drink it wet? You eat it wet?
Right.
I also think this is like a liquid kind of conversation, not like an almond milk, soy milk conversation?
No, I think this is just saying, Kylie Jenner was just eating cereal by the handful at all.
I took it to mean that she just never used real
cow milk. Right.
Yeah, cow
no,
milk.
I'm almost positive it could be. She never. Well, no, because why would she? I'm pretty sure like she could have.
You would underline that.
Yeah,
were,
she could have had cereal with almond milk last night. I mean, milk is milk, I think.
Yeah,
I
either
think
way.
It's just any liquid going with cereal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because then once I started, vanilla almond milk with your cereal.
Oh.
It was like a double dose of sweet for me as a kid. And I was like, yeah, this is how I do it.
Yeah.
Oh, and Frosted Flakes just branched out.
Yeah.
They got cinnamon. They got pumpkin.
Are they good?
Oh, they do?
I haven't let myself try them yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I got into this. You get some vanilla bean ice cream. You throw half a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch
in the blender with
a little bit of almond milk. Now you got yourself a Cinnamon Toast Crunch milkshake.
Yep.
Oh, baby.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, I don't. I think a lot of people think it's gross, right? The liquid in the cereal with the bowl.
People think it's gross?
I've met people who are like, I can't. That seems like a gross soup. Like that's the way they look at cereal.
Yeah.
So I can understand like someone not doing the milk cereal thing.
Right. I will say once I had cereal with milk that actually wasn't skim milk, I was like, wow, what the fuck was I missing?
Skim
milk is not good with
white water.
It's like white water. But that's what I grew up on. So just like what
In Japan, like the fat content of milk is so high. And it's like milk for like kids pancake is batter. So decadent.
Just like,
oh, yeah. I would just black out on like this super fatty milk and like cornflakes.
Yeah. I've talked about
corn frosty,
as we call it in Japan.
My cereal Ouroboros made the... But yeah, like the fact that like... Once you have milk left, you have to pour more cereal in.
Of course.
And then once you get all the milk out and there's still cereal in, you have to pour more milk in, and then it just never evens out until
you're in an infinity loop.
The whole bowl is gone.
What's food you've never ate? We tried to think, I don't want to come off as some dude who's like, well, I've had everything. I haven't, though. One thing I can say that is like something that a lot of people in America eat that I haven't had are pierogies.
Right.
Ooh,
yeah, me neither. I don't think I have.
Never had a pierogi.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, a good pierogi? Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. I see them frozen at the store, and I'm like, man, I know that's not going to be even close to what the fuck people like are really excited
Anything
about.
That's like doughy with like a surprise meat inside?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Like potato balls, pierogies, like these are all things
Are pierogies like potato-y?
I feel like...
I had some potato-y thing that should be called pierogi. Like that seems like an appropriate name, but I don't know what it was.
I know.
It's a filled dumpling by wrapping unleavened dough around a savory or sweet filling. So it's a dough. I guess maybe you could have potato in it, and people right now are probably screaming as they listen. They're like, it's not it.
Right.
It
You know what it reminds me of? Like a pierogi reminds me of the... I don't know the names of a lot of foods, but... Mm-hmm. I just don't know lots of words.
Yeah.
I don't know words.
I just throw things into my mouth. Eat.
Yeah.
But it reminds me, I'm not going to try to find it because I can't, but a pierogi is delicious because it's, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it's deep fried. It's like this unleavened dough that's wrapped around this meat and then it's fried. Like into like a fry basket? Or you can probably bake it?
Well, that's what I see is that it's boiled.
Oh, boiled.
Boiled water, yeah.
Yeah, I've had like friends, one of my good friends in college, like I was with him when he tried a banana for the first time and it was just really weird. He was just like, yeah, man, I never had one. Like I always thought they were kind of weird.
I thought they were for cartoon characters.
Yeah. And he liked it though. He was like, yeah.
I worked
with
somebody who never had an avocado and was not interested in trying one either.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
It's like, a weird color.
It's like a bro trust fall.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Like when you have to like, hey man, put this thing in your mouth that you've never had before. And like a lot of bros will be like, whoa, you want me to put something in my mouth?
I'm not closing my eyes this time.
But avocado is weird. Like if I'd never had peanut butter before, you couldn't make me eat it.
Well, also, this was a woman. And we live in LA,
right,
where there's fucking avocado everywhere.
That's probably weirder than her never having had cereal and milk is not having had avocado. Because like avocado is to their generation... Like what?
It's unavoidable.
Yeah, like Kylie Jenner hearing that you've never had an avocado before, she would just like tear your, I don't know.
Oh, you can eat it? You can put it on your face?
Right. Exactly.
Like,
it's a milkshake?
Yeah. Some people have phobia. I dated a woman who had a phobia about chunks. She couldn't have anything that was chunky.
Mm. Oh, I dated a woman who had a fear of dreadlocks. I'm not joking.
Same fear, I think. Chunky hair.
Yeah, no, and I fucked with her so bad. I had a Rasta wig that I wore, and like she would be asleep, and I would wake her up. I'd be like, hey, wake up. She'd be like, and I was like, what is it? Because I wanted to make sure it wasn't like some sort of really weird deep-seated trauma or anything like that. She's like, I just think they're gross.
She probably saw Marked for Death at a young age, maybe.
And she's like, and it was like a very ignorant take on dreadlocks. Was like, how do you wash them? Like, you can wash your hair. You know what I mean? Like, but her immediate assumption was that. So I think I just like to torment her.
Oh, heroin. I've never had heroin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's weird.
You really got to get on that, man.
You know what's something I never had until I've had it once, and I got to go to the Magic Castle just like a few days ago. I've never, like, this is kind of like a category
never seen
of food. I've never seen magic.
Have you guys seen this shit?
That whole place is
just
magic.
Just sprinted out of the room. Jumped through the window.
No!
Like, I believe in God again.
Right, the devil is real.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I had never had off-menu special. Ordered off-menu, like the daily special. I'd never done that before.
Wow, interesting.
And I didn't realize that the off-menu special is substantially more expensive than anything that's on the
menu. Yeah, because you have to ask how much it is, unless they tell you.
I had no idea that that was a thing. And I probably won't be doing that again for a while.
Yeah.
But it made me feel fancy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, as far as like food, like a specific food goes, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had tapas.
Okay.
But like, other than that, I think I've almost
most staple things.
Other than like crazy, like, and tapas stuff, is, like alligator, yeah, things like that. I've never had that stuff.
But, yeah.
Like,
so I think I've had, maybe I've never had ostrich, but like I learned it a while ago that Darwin ate all the animals he discovered. Like that was just one of the ways that he was like, okay, so you like learn how they behave in their natural habitat. You like smell them, you like lift them up, weigh them, and then you eat them to like see what their meat is like. And I was like, oh, so that's like a scientific thing. So I've always wanted to try everything.
Is it a scientific?
Is that a workaround?
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Darwin's cookbook.
Yeah, right.
Everything.
Did they talk about what the preparation was?
I think he just cooked it. I don't know. Yeah,
probably so bland.
It's just like everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I just see someone showing up like, Darwin, you did not discover people.
Yeah, like,
I have to try people.
Yeah.
But I guess some of the things that they're calling out here, just to see if this jogs any of our memories. Allison Shoemaker from The Takeout wrote that she's never had an apricot that wasn't dried, which I maybe have not. I never had sardines. I've definitely had those.
I definitely had an apricot after seeing that movie with Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yeah.
From last year. That got me interested in apricots.
And a bear claw. She
Same,
said she's
call
never
me by your name.
Right. Mm-hmm. She said she's never had a bear claw, which I might be with her on that.
I had a bear claw because of Tommy Boy.
That's like a big donut thing, right?
Yeah. Right. It's just
like
a big
paw.
Donut.
Yeah.
Is it chocolatey?
Yeah.
No.
I think there's chocolate on top.
I've had the glaze.
And then it's full of cream.
I've never had a bear claw.
Maybe I had a janky one. It just looked
like a
fist.
I kind of stay away from the heavy chocolate stuff. But
what's a movie you've never seen that people would be surprised by? Because that's another thing they said, and I was surprised at some of the things that. Well, I'm not surprised. I don't know these people.
I don't know if people would be surprised by this, but I don't recall ever seeing fried green tomatoes.
How dare you?
Have you eaten them?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I saw steel magnolias, though.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen Steel Magnolias.
Oh, wow.
Like a big movie I've never seen. We'd have to go classic.
Yeah, it's more.
Like, I've never seen any of the black and white ones.
Casablanca?
Like, for the most part. I've seen Casablanca.
I've never seen Casablanca.
I've seen
Casablanca and Citizen Kane, but.
I've seen Citizen Kane for college. I never saw Donnie Darko.
Wow.
I never saw Boondock Saints.
Oh, you're not missing anything.
And those are movies that, like, the kind of people I remember at that age were like, yo, you got to see it. I'm like, I want nothing to do with
you.
You
definitely do not have to see Boondock Saints. Darko's worth seeing.
Yeah, okay. Donnie Darko for sure. Growing up Irish Catholic, it was they showed Boondock Saints at my church. Yeah, right.
That was the sermon.
Yeah.
Like, all right, everybody.
I grew up Irish Catholic, and I don't know if I was just, like, at a point where I was like over that style of filmmaking or something, but I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. That whole movie just like made me.
Is this some gangster shit?
It's just some gangster shit. Okay. It's like very Tarantino influenced, but it's so
is it
absurd.
Like, it's like Belly for Irish people?
Yes.
And I love anything.
I've never seen Belly.
You never seen Belly?
I've never
seen Belly either.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys.
It's very white of me.
Hype Williams, baby. Movie is not, I mean. I can't watch that film objectively. It has so many of my favorite rappers in it. Like, this is fucking looks good. Yeah.
What's
script
the,
not great.
What I was going to say was, like, the Boondock Saints, for me, I love any movie that has a crazy story attached to it.
Right.
And, like, the story about the screenwriter.
Right.
It's just so bonkers. I mean, because we don't need to talk about it. But so I love anything that's got a great story. Like, that Mars Volta album that was recorded in the studio that they thought that was haunted. And then they lost the recording. I'm like, I have to listen to this album. Right. You know, so, like, anything that's got a great story attached
that's
to
like
it really
reels
me in.
That's like Jay Dilla's Donuts. He was making that like on his deathbed, like while he was undergoing treatment, and they had to sneak an MPC into the hospital for him to like make the album like in his hospital bed.
Oh, see, I have to listen.
Yeah.
I have
and
to hear
when you
it
hear
now.
It, like he cuts samples together that are really weird. There's one where like he's chopping stuff up where it sounds like he's saying like, "Is death real?" and all this other stuff. And when you know that this is sort of like his last thing. And he's making it as he's dying. It's very, very special.
Oh, man. Because there's no limitations now on what you will do. Because you don't have to be, like, maybe in your mind, you're like, I'm not going to be around to be criticized for this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do exactly what the creative, like, maybe he's channeling the muse from the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to hear it.
Yeah. Gone with the Wind. Never seen Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
That's probably the most popular movie of all time. So that's a big one.
Is that the most popular movie of all time?
Yeah. When you do box office adjusted for inflation, it sold the most tickets. It was like...
Sure.
Insane.
Oh,
how
wow.
many people want to see
Schindler's
that.
List.
Mm.
Haven't seen Schindler's List.
I was just about to say Schindler's List is on the top 10 of movies. Singing in the Rain, I finally saw. On the Waterfront, I have seen, but that's one that I saw just like workmanlike, just sat through it like, I gotta watch this shit.
I just know I could have been a contender from it.
Right. Lawrence of Arabia, I have never seen.
Mm. I've never seen it either.
So maybe it's time we have a lean night.
I did see, however, I did see, what is it called? Sahara? That movie with, isn't that Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, like what's the homeboy's name? Yes. Steve Zahn is in that too.
Yes.
Yep, that's who it was.
I love Steve Zahn.
Great guy.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and there is some breaking news. Super producer Anna Hosnier let us know that King James, LeBron James, and Ryan Coogler, director of Black Panther and Creed and Fruitvale Station, are teaming up to produce a Space Jam sequel, not a reboot, thank God.
Wait, starring LeBron?
We don't know yet.
We just know he's producing.
I mean, if he's a good producer, it will be starring LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be the only player.
Yeah,
who...
and Michael Jordan can't fucking act, so he's
right,
fine.
Right.
Yeah, and they have to do it in a year that they're not really gonna, really contend for
a title.
Yeah,
that'll be right now.
So that they have to do it now.
Right.
Yeah, they gotta get it done.
Before Jimmy Butler signs.
I like, though, that they're like, it's not a reboot, it's a sequel.
So, yeah, because you don't want to disrespect the mythology of the first Space Jam.
What threads were left hanging after the first one?
Well, you don't know, man.
They fucked the Monstars up.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that video that Yahoo made, the parody, that it was like a 30 for 30 about the game between Monstars and the Toon Squad?
Yeah, I think I did
watch
that.
It's so fucking stupid because they take it so seriously. He's like, one of the guys just smushed a Bugs Bunny. I've never seen anything like that in the corner.
All right. The Brett Kavanaugh situation,
saga.
I guess, saga, is spinning out of control. Shit is going down. At least that's what Drudge is saying. Chaos continues. The debate has now shifted to whether Dr. Blasey Ford should have to testify in a sort of he said, she said type of situation hearing in front of the Senate, or, should be insulated from that. And, as we talked about earlier this week, Anita Hill wrote a op-ed where she was kind of giving urging caution on the part of the senators questioning her and some of the things that were asked of her. So I remember when it happened, and I've read articles about it, but just like being reminded of the things that senators were asking Anita Hill. Like they were like, are you a woman scorned? And I think Arlen Specter specifically said that he thought that she was just mad because he had rejected her sexual advances.
And also said, we say things like large woman's breasts all the time. That's fine.
Yeah. So that's fine. Yeah. It was very.
91. I mean, it's really no different than now, except now, rather than just being so aggressively trying to smear this victim, it's just more being like, yeah, we'll hear it and we'll just ignore it, but we won't like try and.
It's locker room talk.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think who knows? I mean, if whether or not this will happen, because now her lawyer is asking for the FBI to just vet this a little bit further, so at least the senators have some form of factual evidence in front of them before, and I think that's reasonable.
I think it's especially reasonable in light of how the Anita Hill thing
100%,
went down, because that was just, she was not given, they just asked questions that were beneficial to their point of view, and, it does seem like each side has their mind made up, and the majority side is not going to be interested in her saying anything that will make it difficult for them to approve Kavanaugh.
That's what makes it like really shitty, though, too, is that they're so aggressively already sort of signaling. It's like, well, I've already made my mind up about this. And you're like, this is exactly what's wrong with the legal system in this country when it comes to situations.
Especially
like
when you consider the circumstances surrounding specifically what everything is. I think it's, I don't know if you guys have discussed this a bunch, but to me, it's one of the most outdated remnants of like an old system, mm-hmm. a lifetime appointment of someone who can actively affect policy on a large and a level that affects Americans' daily lives personally,
generationally,
down to every single person. And when it comes to having a lifetime appointment, first of all, I think we need to get rid of that. And I think a lot of these problems might go away and we can change with the times a little better. But the least you can do is really vet somebody.
Right.
Like bring in the FBI, like you said, like when it comes to, the, what is it, 12 or whatever people that are allowed to be on the Supreme Court for life.
Right.
I mean, if there's ever a time you go above and beyond, it's in the Supreme Court situation.
Yeah.
Right. And they're instead being like, well, the FBI already looked into it. I'm not going to ask them to do it again.
Well, and then Trump was like, I don't think that's their job. And it's like, hold on. Yes, it is.
First of all, anything can be their job.
Yeah. And you ask them to do it. And the way it works is, too, is like when they initially vet someone, they'll give the file of like, here's what we found when we vetted this person. And then the president could easily say, oh, can you further look into this, too, as part of this investigation or your vetting process? And they go, yeah, sure.
Right.
We'll do that. But he was just trying to be like, oh, yeah, I think the senator. But it's been interesting to see how measured Trump's sort of rhetoric and response has been to questions about this. Because normally when it comes to accusations, he will smear the victims fucking like just as a reaction.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Right.
And this time it's been very measured, like, well, yeah, like we'll hear her and blah, 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 which shows you that, you know, there's a lot at stake for the Republicans with this because it's now become a much more like multidimensional issue going into midterms. And I think they know that like just steamrolling this guy through with these kinds of allegations and not like properly hearing this woman will look bad because they really need suburban women to turn out for them if they want any chance of not of, you know, trying to fight back a blue wave in the House and, like, you know, could throw the Senate into a little bit of a confusing situation.
I feel like Kavanaugh has turned – he started off as, like, a spring break tattoo. Like, yeah, I'm going to get this and probably have it for the rest of my life, but now he's plastic surgery.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, you can get rid of a tattoo eventually somehow.
Yeah, right.
But, like, plastic surgery is done.
Yeah.
And so now people are like, well, do I really want to change my face?
Right.
You know, like, so they're pulling back a little bit. And I wonder, too, if Trump's not even already at that point – where he's like, you know what, I do want to make some money after all of this is done, and no one's going to pay me to talk except these whack jobs. You know, maybe so he's going to maybe start measuring back a little bit towards the last two. I doubt that's going to happen.
If he's thinking that far ahead.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I, you know, fingers crossed.
I think he's probably pretty happy with his situation for making money after he's out of the White House just because of all the deals he's making right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to judge the accusation and Kavanaugh because we haven't seen either side speak. And, you know, I think if she doesn't want to speak, then it should be left up to the FBI since it doesn't seem like putting them in public in front of a bunch of people who have a lot of reason to steer things in one direction or the other is something she's comfortable with. I can tell you that I'm finding Brett Kavanaugh's complete and utter denial to be hard to buy. Like, he was definitely a hard partying kid, and as recently as 2015 said that whatever happened at G-Town, like, his exact quote was, but fortunately we had a good saying that we've held firm to by this day, which is what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. I think that's been a good thing for all of us. So it's not like he's I don't know. The fact that he can then like say something like that, but then be like, I would never and have never and definitely not in high school.
Right.
Absolutely not. Just seems strikes me as disingenuous.
Of course. And he's only making it worse. You can't, you know, on one hand, they're like, well, when you have the argument, well, even if he did do it, is that disqualifying? I think if he's denying it and it happened 100%. The only time you even have a shred of like a possibility for redemption is to admit to something and admit to knowing that something is wrong. I don't think even if he admitted in this case, I think that should be disqualifying. If you're going to be a fucking Supreme Court justice, you don't need allegations of attempted rape against you when you are, you know, such heavy legal decisions are going to rest on your shoulders. But even that idea of like, well, shouldn't maybe if he did or didn't. This isn't about a criminal thing, and I think people are getting so lost into like, well, it's been so long and people change, and we're not really talking about his utter denial of it. He has a very weird explanation of it. First, I think Chuck Grassley said like, well, he told me he wasn't even at that party.
Right.
And then another time was like, he doesn't, then they kind of pulled that back and were like, well, he doesn't remember being at a party like that. And there's just a lot of, it's just very murky.
Right.
And you'd think at this point, this is just a headache that the GOP doesn't want. This guy has so much baggage, and everything from the documents that we can't see to
the Democrats, like allegations of him committing perjury or at the very least being dishonest while he was testifying to the Senate judiciary. This, like, come on. Like, what are we fucking doing here?
Where's the accountability? If you can't have accountability at that level, then it's just, I mean, you hold, I remember when I was a teacher for a very short time, like, you had a 10-year-old kid who you wouldn't continue, or at least I wouldn't continue class, and, like, you're told not to. Like, if the kid does something wrong, make the kid admit that they did something wrong.
Right.
And then they realize that there's a punishment for that, but guess what? We move on.
Yeah, this, we move you have on, a shred right? of responsibility.
Yeah,
for
I mean, like you said, in this case, I don't know if you move on, like as far as him, you know,
Supreme Court
becoming
justice,
a Supreme Court justice. But if you can't be accountable, as a Supreme, like if you're a Supreme Court justice, it's like you are one of the very select people, the few people in the world who should be able to pass all these smell tests.
Yeah,
like you're not a creep.
Yeah.
You're not a bastard. You're not a thief.
You're not
like,
a cheat.
You're one of those people who grew up thinking, I'm going to be something really special one day. I'm going to be one of these people who deserves to be able to make this kind of thing, right? Like, you don't just, like, you know. But, I mean, I guess that's, you know, when you look at the president.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that just, also used to be a position where you thought, I have to live a pretty good life to be able to
and
achieve
And it weakens
that.
Our trust in the legal system when we're like, dude, this guy's a – like, these people, Clarence Thomas – right. And Brett Kavanaugh, they're up there and they're making these decisions that are life-altering for people. It degrades our trust in the rule of law also when you're like, but these we're elevating these people. The idea of the Supreme Court was usually like, these are like near like deities of legal minds where they're like, yes, bring it to the Supreme Court where we'll be fair and just interpret the law and give you what our interpretation is. And just over the time, it's just become now it's turned into this like politicized partisan body. And every nomination, it becomes clearer and clearer that we're moving away from just sort of the sanctity of the rule of law and just bringing people who are – everyone can agree that these people will interpret the law fairly to now, you know, just get the homie in there because we got to tip the scales.
Yeah, for sure.
In
this. If we're going to keep pretending to be these fancy beasts,
right?
Which we are, you know, like we're just beasts that like to be fancy every once in a while. Like stick to the rules of what it means to be a fancy beast.
Right.
You know, every once in a while we wear a tuxedo to get into a certain event. And also we have these laws that we created that we have to follow because we are beasts that are now fancy. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, you can't just throw all that out the window or now we're just beasts again.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know if his immediate response was like, well, women deserve to be believed. And I was like a shitty kid and in high school. And like, I have definitely like changed the way I think about things like that and, you know, completely owned up to, like, I think women should be believed. Like, I mean, that's a complete hypothetical because his initial response was just deny, deny, deny. But, you know, who knows how that would have played out. But I think in this specific instance, like, his response just seems like to be a part with everything he's done, which is anytime he gets in trouble for something, he denies it and lies, whether it's under oath or, you know, he says whatever he thinks is going to make him look good.
Yeah. Well, it's just sad, too, to see all the pundits and then politicians on the right just use all this tortured logic to try and defend it. And, like, I think Ann Coulter had some hot takes on Fox the other night, and then Tucker Carlson really brought it with one of his opening monologues, like, a couple days ago. Where he was just, I don't know, just listen to Tucker Carlson.
Oh, God. Is there a meme out there yet with that remember that song, like, it wasn't me?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that should just be playing over and over
That's
again.
What happened when the op-ed in the New York Times came out when it was, we are the internal resistance to the White House. That's when everybody was like, it wasn't me. But yeah, listen to Tucker Carlson just try and wrap his head around, you know, why this whole thing's out of control.
It's not just Brett Kavanaugh who's guilty. It's, quote, the men of this country, every single one of them, because they're men.
Uh-huh.
Christine Ford, meanwhile, is telling the truth because she's a woman. She's female. You must believe her. That's a command from a United States senator. It's not optional. It's mandatory. So repeat after Mazie Hirono. Men always lie. Women never do. One sex is evil. The other is holy. That's the catechism of the Church of Late Stage Feminism.
Wow. Oh, Tucker.
I mean, we could look at precedents here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a judge who has to, you know, evaluate like the history of law and cases and all of these things that set up like future decisions. If you want to look at precedents, you would have to come to the conclusion that yeah, men are evil and women are holy. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of examples to back up both sides and in the other direction too. But I think using that as a defense is like absurd. It's just, don't generalize it to that. It's like, well, because man guilty, because woman, we must believe.
Right.
Like, no. That's not the crux of this whole argument either. But, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And I've heard conservatives be like, this reflects poorly on the Me Too movement. And it's just like, such a bad faith.
Well, because those people are looking at it through the lens of, this is only because it's for politics.
Right.
Rather than, for a second, let's remove that layer of this whole discussion and look at Dr. Blasey Ford and say, this is a person who has this trauma in their past. They didn't think they would have to revisit it. They hear that this person is going to become a Supreme Court justice, and now they feel like an obligation to let people know what this person's character is like, rather than just like, you know, the idea that like, oh, they just dug someone up who they paid, like George Soros paid them right. A couple bucks to fucking lie.
Yeah.
And that's such an odd way to look at this kind of thing all the time. Granted, because this is happening in a political setting, people always try and use that to discredit something. But just right. For a second, even if they're so truly believe that Brett Kavanaugh is holy and should be a Supreme Court justice, they then just invite the investigation and be like, yeah, it'll be fine because he'll be exonerated.
Right. For they them really to argue that the Democrats are people who want an investigation or acting in bad faith, but then trying to connect this to a movement that has made them, has been gnawing at the back of their mind ever since it started, yeah, the Me Too movement. It's like that is the most bad faith behavior, yeah, that you can engage
and
in.
And as a governing body, they have the worst track record with dealing with this kind of, right, behavior. So, of course, they don't want to get anywhere near it or have to be self-reflective about how they've behaved or how the House and Senate as a body has behaved when people bring up these kinds of things.
Right. And it's very in keeping with the Fox News movement to, you know, there is a long history of women being not believed and being disbelieved. And the second you ask them to give a single woman the benefit of the doubt, then it's like, oh, what, we're going to believe all women now? We, right, just believe everything a woman says just because she's a woman? And it's the same way they react to race stuff.
Right.
It's like, well, what, now white people are under attack. And it's like, no.
No, we're talking about specific incidents. Right. And again, Tucker Carlson was saying all men are evil.
Right, there
are...
just you yeah, fucking
I mean, it's like we're living in the upside shit. Down, you know? Right. Like, sometimes I feel like, I don't know, have you heard of the Mandela effect?
Yes.
Like that theory about we split off into an alternate universe. Sometimes I feel like maybe we did. Like, we're living in a world where like the people in power want to like make the word sanctuary,
right,
a bad word. It's like, right, sanctuary is one of the most beautiful words.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Me Too movement is about women finding or victims finding justice. Right. And like, where is sanctuary and where is justice for victims? When are these bad things?
Yeah.
And sure, it's just the nature of us. Like, when something first happens, maybe, sure, we react and we go a little too far maybe at first with it, but it always pulls back and it becomes where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's a beautiful time to be alive, to be able to say, I was a part of this when this was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're trying to correct just a long-standing societal failure.
And it's very transparent if you just look at, okay, who is objecting the most? And it's people who have a lot to lose if the status quo changes.
No doubt.
They've just had a huge advantage forever. And, yeah, you know.
Do you remember being a little kid, mm-hmm, and like, and you'd be in like school and you'd be learning about the Holocaust, and, uh-huh, like you'd see photos or like the civil rights movement, you know, and you'd be like, how could those people be on the wrong side?
Right.
Because,
right,
everybody, right, was like, oh, the right side is very obvious.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember being a kid like, how could someone be on the wrong side? And now we're living in a situation where those same kids who were saying, how could they be on the wrong side, are like actively choosing to be on the wrong side, but don't realize it because for whatever reason they think they're on the right side or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's mind-blowing to me how clear it is between the wrong and the right side,
right,
here.
Yeah. Well, I think partisanship has like further put people on other sides, and then your own self-preservation kicks in. Where you're like, well, I already bought the jersey for this team.
Yeah.
So, right, I got to just figure out in my head however the fuck I'm going to rationalize this and probably ignore as much as you can to avoid having to be honest with yourself.
Well, we went for a long time on that, which I think is appropriate because this is what a lot of people are talking about today. Just really briefly, the president is down in Carolina, in the Carolinas, healing the country. Just a couple highlights from that I wanted to point out. There was a poignant conversation as Trump was walking through a destroyed neighborhood. He crossed the street to a small, I'm just going to read from a article from the New York Times reporter Mark Landler. Trump crossed the street to a small brick house where he stopped to greet an older man in a T-shirt. Behind the house, a large yacht had washed ashore and was shipwrecked against the wooden deck. Trump gazed at the yacht, saying, "Is this your boat?" The owner said, "No." Trump turned and replied with a smile, "At least you got a nice boat out of the deal." Speaking to report, and then he like wouldn't let that go. He keeps being like, "Well, we don't know whose boat that is, but maybe they should get to keep it."
There's a fucking natural disaster.
Right. The deal being a natural disaster that killed dozens of people.
Yeah.
And he also at one point asked how Lake Norman was, which is a lake that he has a golf course on. And he was like, "I can't tell you." He said, "How's Lake Norman doing?" And then he was like, "I love that area. I can't tell you why, but I love that area." So yeah, he's
for
just
your properties.
Like, yeah. He's just being like the fun, you know, business guy, like clap you on the back, trying to be like, we're all in this together.
He's just
and
so
people are just like weeping.
They're unable like, to connect like right. what he's standing in the middle of and being like, "Oh wow, this might be tough for you," and being like, "Hey, free boat, huh?"
Yeah, it's like he walked into a funeral home during a wake. Like, "Sorry, your husband died, but you got some free mints
yeah,
in this
right,
bowl."
Right, like, wow, the food is great, though.
Beautiful flower arrangement.
Love an Irish wake. Love an Irish wake.
All right.
But, like, you know, one other thing, though, that you were saying from this article, when they were talking about the insurance company didn't want to pay for the damage to his home, and Trump goes on, "We're going to find out the name of the insurance company. I think it's incredible what we're seeing. This boat just came here. They don't know whose boat that is. What's the law? Maybe it becomes theirs." What the fuck?
Right.
What is this new, like, hurricane law? Where yeah. it's like, "Hey, if some shit blows into your yard, it's fucking yours, baby. Finders keepers, losers may have perished in the disaster, and I don't want to lose sight of that." It's like, what the fuck, man? It's so shitty, man. When you look at just from, like, the environmental concerns of, like, these, like, pig farm cesspits that are just, like, becoming, like, overflowing, or, like, livestock death and human casualties, and yet he just, I guess because in his mind, he can't really deal with something that heavy. So he just hits the slick jump shot with the paper towels or just like, "Yo, big up to you on the new yacht."
Yeah.
All airplane travel is now by calling shotgun. Right. You just show up at the airport. Shotgun. Okay,
shotgun.
You get on the plane. All right,
your first class, right, baby. Yeah. Good job.
He is an ideologue of the ideology of whatever the biggest and coolest thing in front of him at that moment is.
Right.
That's what he believes in. Yeah. That's amazing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And 2 days ago, Bert and Ernie were trending on Twitter, which caused many of us to worry about which world leader's penis had been compared to which Muppet. But it was actually in response to a bunch of reports that a former Sesame Street writer had confirmed what we all suspected, that Bert and Ernie were gay.
Uh-huh.
And the person, basically, he is gay and wrote for Bert and Ernie and said that this was just kind of always what he had in mind, that they were a gay couple. And then Sesame Street came out and said they were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves, and basically said they're not gay, they're more asexual, which...
Uh-huh.
Muppets.
That vibes. That works with them. I've seen the Muppets.
Right. Muppets.
They're not asexual.
Muppets are not asexual, guys. Come on. Miss Piggy's sole motivation is to fuck Kermit in public over and over again. But
they're telling me that's asexual. The idea of the like pushing back on it is so funny. Frank Oz really came out.
Yeah.
He's like, "They're not gay."
And I mean, you could view it as like everybody had their own interpretation. The different
people
who were performing and writing the characters had their own interpretation. I think that's probably okay. Like, and I think it's fine to ask different people, you know, what their interpretation is. I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind that some people do interpret, like some viewers have interpreted them as being gay, and that's been both good and bad. Like in Mississippi, they banned Sesame Street for being too progressive.
Oh, when it first came out?
Yeah, when it first came out. And
they're like, "What are blues doing hanging out with greens?"
Exactly. And there was a preacher who was like, didn't want children to be allowed to watch Sesame Street and asked the government for it to be banned because Bert and Ernie were two male characters who lived together, and he was assuming they were gay. But
oh, and wasn't it that they like that they sew together and tend,
yeah, that they
tend
sew
to
together
plants
and
together
garden
or something.
Together, yeah.
Therefore,
yeah, which, therefore they must be gay.
It's funny though too, because for such a show that was very progressive and was like all about like inclusion, and you have like kids with disabilities, you'd be surprised that they wouldn't have a couple that was gay to just show like, yo, love comes in all these forms, and yeah, we don't have to be cryptic about it.
Absolutely.
Because that's what Sesame Street is. That's the vibe. And I think that's a, yeah, that's why I'm like also like, why are you getting caught up in like whether or not, like, why don't you then just come out and just create some characters for young kids to see that represent people in same-sex relationships that, hey, we all out here.
I mean, I feel like Allen Iverson, remember his famous quote, like, we talking about practice?
Right.
We talking
not
about,
a game.
We're talking about puppets?
Right.
We talking about puppets here? Like, I mean, I think people, like, the idea that people are like, getting so outraged, or you know, these conversations about puppets, and I understand, like, oh, it's this the mythology or the archetypes and all these other things that kids are seeing and they're learning lessons,
right,
and all that stuff. Yeah, but they're puppets at the same time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When I was in college in creative writing classes, you'd write a story, then you have to read it in front of your classmates, and then everybody would dissect it.
Right.
And then all these people would add in all this meaning that they read from your story, like, oh, I really love the symbolism you did here, and I'd just be like, oh yeah, well, thank you. And I'm
right,
like,
right.
I had no intention of that
right,
symbolism, right?
Right.
But like, once you release art into the world, like that Wilco song, it's like it's no longer yours, right?
Yeah, right.
Now it belongs to the world.
And I do think that sometimes that stuff is present, and it's just a part of your mind that you didn't have access to that was working on that stuff sometimes.
Maybe. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree that like there's a lot of stuff that's not intended. I just wonder if like some of the people might not have been intending it, and some people might have been intending it, but it doesn't matter because
yeah,
it's creating its own meaning in the world.
Right,
you know?
And I think it's one of those things because there have been multiple people who have either voiced them or been the puppeteers or wrote for them that a lot of people have had their hands on it, and sometimes people did have those intentions, other times people didn't. But
right,
you just have to accept that if everyone's bringing their own thing to it, like you don't have to shoot down someone's interpretation of it to be like, they're not gay.
Right.
And if you don't want them to be gay, then like whatever.
Yeah, they're not gay to you, man.
Yeah, and if you want them to be, great.
Yeah.
But I think at the very least, I think in terms of a representation standpoint, you should just be like, if I think as a show, I think you can have characters like that, or just have that represented with whether it's through them or other people. I don't know.
The truth is, a lot of the time they behave like a gay couple who lives together, and a lot of the times they behave like 6-year-olds. Like some, like our writer Jam was pointing out,
right,
they like love rubber duckies and they take naps during the day. Like
they're babies.
Yeah, they're sometimes they act like babies. In one storyline, Ernie gets lost at the mall and starts crying. Like that shit happens. Like,
oh. Yeah, for Maria.
Yeah,
yo,
yeah.
That fucked me up.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's...
Yeah, we're not actually... We're missing the actual point here.
Right.
How the fuck old are these people?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Because if you're 6 years old, what the... Where are the parents at?
Right.
Yeah. And if you're fucking... If you're adults, as JM wrote, what the fuck is their job?
Right.
It's like Kramer.
Although,
I mean?
Elmo's parents... I guess Elmo's parents do come around sometimes, right? Parents do exist in the Sesame Street universe.
I am sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
But Elmo
don't
is like literally
right now,
a baby. Like
yeah,
he,
Elmo.
Yeah, that was pretty good
Elmo
actually.
Baby.
Wow, Elmo is here.
Wow, in our fourth scene is Elmo.
Elmo thinks everyone's getting too focused on the oriented.
Anyway, but yeah,
okay.
Are they adults? Is really what I need to know.
Okay.
How old are these Muppets? I would love to see a breakdown of all of the Muppets' ages. I would love it if Oscar the Grouch was like 14.
He's just a low-teen 14-year-old.
Yeah, he's a fucking angry teen.
It's like, what are you scared of, man?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like this whole world that we're living in, it's either fear or love. Like, where are you operating from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to build a wall because you're scared,
yeah,
or do you want to let refugees in because you love it?
Yeah, and
you know,
like,
it's like,
right,
what are you scared? What if these puppets are gay? What if they're the gayest things that exist in the world?
Right.
What's so scary about that to you?
Yeah, well, I think that's the funny thing is when, especially when the, like in California, the whole Prop 8 debate was going on about same-sex marriage, the sort of conclusions that they were drawing was usually the one I heard the most from people in the street who were like, yeah, man, we have to stop gay marriage. I'm like, well, why? And they're like, well, what's next?
Right.
And that was always the thing. Well, what's next?
Right.
Like, you can marry like a fucking horse. And I'm like, okay.
What?
You don't have to marry a horse. Your
right,
kid doesn't. Like, what's, I don't
also
understand.
Not
like,
the
it's
same
not
thing.
Well, yeah, right. But I'm saying, like, I was always, yeah, like you say, like, what is the existential threat to you of other people living their happiest life?
Right.
Is that they are going to force you to live like them? Because,
yeah.
But I guess because essentially that's what those people are trying to do to people who do want to have a same-sex relationship. They're like, no, you can't have, you have to do what we do, is you fuck the opposite.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's because I'm trying to exert this control on you. The logical end game here is that if this happens, you're going to try and do that to me.
Maybe Frank Oz is so scared and came out so hard against this, not only because maybe he's homophobic, but maybe he also doesn't want to admit that he's a puppet.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't want to admit.
They say it like it was like an analog for his relationship with Jim Henson.
Yeah, they said it was all, it was usually based on their friendship and, you know, one of them, I think Frank Oz was Bert.
Whoever the more conservative. Well, who was the more? Was
Bert.
Bert?
Yeah, and Ernie was kind of the more fun.
Yeah.
Fun dude. Yeah,
those devious eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bert? Eyebrow.
Wait, which one was Ernie?
Ernie's the one with the skinny orange.
One. Like the skinnier headed one.
Oh, that's Ernie? No, that's Bert.
Oh, wait,
no,
that's Bert.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just know that they had like he had caterpillar eyebrows, right? They kind of could move like on their own.
Hold on. Before we just fuck this whole thing up. Bert is the one with the fucking his head is shaped like corn.
Right.
With yeah, the yeah, 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 off yeah, in the yeah, unibrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Okay, and Ernie is the orange man. Or boy.
Ernie's yeah, yeah. the homie. Bert is kind of got that like, he's always aggravated a little
right.
bit about something. But they have a great relationship. Like, what, no matter what type of relationship you want to imagine it as, they have an awesome relationship. And
right.
it does teach you important things about having friendships with people. It's like a fairly accurate friendship for like being puppets for 6-year-olds. It really is. Like, there's a lot of ways that their personalities clash that they make work that I think is good for young kids to see. Speaking of young kids, Miles, mm-hmm. this is big news for young Miles.
Well, oh yeah, Sony PlayStation Classic is launching this December. Now, Nintendo's done it with like the Nintendo thing and like there's emulators. You can get all this kind of SNK did a version where you could get consoles that had like, you know, a bunch of games preloaded. But now PlayStation's throwing their hat in the ring and they're throwing out the Sony PlayStation Classic, the OG version. It's like half the size, but has 20 games on it. But they haven't released the full game list as of now that I've seen. But the one thing that is on there is a game that I love. Final Fantasy VII will be on there. And I lost hours of my life to that game alongside Tekken 3, Ridge Racer Type 4. A part of me feels like I won't buy it because I've seen too much of where games have gone. And like the nostalgia thing works for a little bit and then eventually gets a little bit old. But for this, I am becoming more and more invested because, like, these were games that, like, were really coming, like, around 94. Yeah, like, being, what, 10 to 14 years old. Those are the formative.
There's one game on there that I bet it's not on the list, and I wish it was. Did you ever play Risk on the original PlayStation?
No, of course not.
Oh, my God.
I remember. What? Didn't have, like, a Napoleon on it or something screaming with an explosion behind him? I feel like there was, like, a...
Or no, I don't think it had any, like, even the graphics never really got that great. But Risk was so great on PlayStation.
Right.
The box art.
The box art.
The box art had Napoleon running.
Yeah.
And it holding a machine gun. It's like,
oh, that game was so, I lost so much of my life to Risk on PlayStation.
Just playing the computer?
Yeah, well, playing friends, playing the computer.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit quicker than the board game.
Right.
You know, and you have to worry about like the computer now has the dice. So, I mean, that's a little, you know, but,
I love it.
The Yellow Risk. Army. I would call myself the Urination Army spreading through the latrines of the world. Like that game's not
wow.
going to be out. But to find that game is very expensive for the original PlayStation.
When I just searched it, $11.97.
Oh,
ships within 24 hours.
Oh, well, hey, time to,
time to go. Hey,
time to go.
I got to go buy
Ryan
this.
Just Ryan just right. ran Peace. Out of the room. Weird. All right. And finally, Ryan, we want to play a game with you. It is called Velocipede Scooter. Miles,
yes.
do you want to explain?
Yeah, so
what the focus is?
In the Washington Post, Christopher Ingram wrote this sort of article about how the new debate is about all these scooters, like the Lime and Bird scooters that people just leave on the streets and if they're safe or not, and realize that this same kind of thing happened with the Velocipede, the big wheel in the front bicycle, the predecessor
like the
to the bicycle.
Late 19th century.
Yeah, exactly. And that the same criticisms like are very similar. It's like, two-wheeled menaces blazing down the city streets and sidewalks, piloted by thrill seekers with little evident concern for their own safety or that of others. So they put together some quotes to find out if this is a quote from the time of the Velocipede or an op-ed about now in the Bird Scooter. So first one, the new two-wheeled transportation options are no casual amusement.
That's the Veloso, the first one.
The Velociraptor.
We'll call it a bike.
Yeah.
Actually, it's about the scooter.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, that was from a Washington Post.
Who the fuck wrote that?
Well, that seemed like a little old-timey language.
Yeah.
Are no casual amusement.
Well, what about this? The most senseless and ridiculous mania that ever took hold of the public.
That's got to be the Velociraptor.
The Velocipede? We're going with that one?
Velocipede.
And yes, you are correct. Attributed to an American newspaper writer commenting on bicycling in 1869.
Ah, that's amazing.
Next one. These vandals are destroying or desecrating the vehicles in disturbingly imaginative ways and celebrating their illegal deeds.
That's the scooter.
Yeah,
that's
that
the
has
scooter.
To be. Yeah, because we saw people, people were throwing them in the fucking sea.
That's crazy to me.
They're
like, you hate like people not driving cars as much that you're going to throw these into
right,
the water?
Right, it's so short-sighted. It's just like some...
People are mad.
Just some weird Luddite type shit. Like, fucking scooter! Yeah. Like, I do not recognize this thing!
Yeah, exactly.
It must be away! But yeah, I think also people like local, especially in the West Side, though, people like are very NIMBY-ish, like in Venice and like Santa Monica. Like if that shit's like on in front of your house, you're like,
it's dropping the property value.
Right. Exactly.
And is it? I feel like it's a. It says like your neighborhood's cool.
I don't think anyone's been like, you know, I fucking took a bath on that real estate deal with all those scooters outside.
An absolute bath.
Yeah. This next one: seize, break, destroy all such machines found running on the sidewalks.
Sorry, what?
Seize, break, destroy all such machines found running on the sidewalks.
I mean, that has to be the scooter,
right?
Yeah, I'd say that has to be the scooter.
It's the bicycle. 1819 newspaper
found running
in New Haven, Connecticut, railed against the sudden popularity of the Velocipede. Seize, break, destroy, or convert to their own use as good price all such machines found running on the sidewalks.
I remember
taking
a time
care not
in this
to bear
country when the sidewalk was for bipedal people.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So did they just not know how those worked and they thought you could leave them running?
I have no idea what, I don't know what they're talking about. I think people were just getting hurt and then they're like, how does a simple leg motion create all such energy? I don't know. It was an interesting time. Another one. Considering that the use of X is becoming more general, access to public promenades and sidewalks is hereby permitted or prohibited.
That's the scooter.
Promenades? Public promenades? Feels Velocipede.
It's the bicycle, you're right. Yes.
Wow.
Another one from 1869. And lastly, we'll do this one. The gentleman X-ing, cooling across our city streets and sidewalks at 15 miles an hour, the wind gently flapping their ties and tussling their hair, are indifferent to your angry glares.
That's the Velocipede.
I'm going scooter.
Scooter. Yep. Yeah, see? It's tough to know.
Yeah. We are who we thought we were.
Just in a time.
Have you been on a bird yet or one of the scooters?
I have not. And I actually was running yesterday and they were like laid across the sidewalk, almost like an obstacle.
Right.
And I had that like momentary inclination where I was like, I should just like throw this shit into the street. But I didn't. And it was like early. Nobody was around. It was 2:30 when I ran.
I let you go. Yeah. Nobody would have seen you.
Yeah. No. I could have gotten away with it.
Wait, 2:30 in the morning?
No, I was just joking. That's we talked Mark about
Wahlberg
earlier how Mark Wahlberg wakes up to work out
at
2:30.
Oh my god! Oh,
he eats like three meals by 6 in the morning.
Yes, it's amazing. What a guy, Ryan. It's been a pleasure having you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been great.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
People can find me at RyanSingerComedy.com. I'm very excited. Next month, I'll have a free new album.
Whoa.
A live stand-up comedy album. It's called Free Love. That'll be out in October, but my website will have a free download, all that kind of stuff. So
cool.
I'm excited to give this one away for free.
Very cool.
Away now.
And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying? This is a new thing we're asking people since the last time you were here.
This is a pretty poignant one that like really applies to, I guess, everything that's happening and what we talked about today.
Who's it from?
Aparna Necherla, she says, can we amend boys will be boys to predators will be predators so we're not ascribing violent behavior as normal to an entire gender expression/identity?
Wow.
Which is like so poignant. I mean, it's it's not like necessarily like over the top humorous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but I, but
such
like what
common
she's,
sense
yeah,
writing,
it's just like, yeah, stop saying boys will be boys. Like, stop making boys, like, stop ascribing that to boys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let's make it predators. And like, and she's just wonderful. And,
yeah.
She's one of my favorites best. And has been for a long, long time.
Yeah.
All right, Miles.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like actually came yesterday. If you follow me on Twitter, usually when Donald Trump tweets some shit, I just quote tweet and I go, "You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?" I just like, this is stupid and I love it. But the other day I was doing a thread about just all the ways you could break down MAGA or DJT into things about his penis. And then someone, Monty at HotCha33, said, "Mushrooms literally eat pieces of shit for breakfast."
Hey.
And I was like, "Oh shit, my man, that's very true." So shout out to you, Monty. Got the Portuguese and American flag. So obrigado.
Yeah, I was gonna. One of my tweets that I was enjoying was gonna be at Miles of Gray. DJT equals dick just trash.
Yeah.
Because we wanted that to be our title yesterday, but then we
can't post that.
Can't put dick in the title.
Oh God. You know, political correctness.
Censorship.
Or it should have been MAGA. Mushrooms are genitals.
You know.
Actually.
Yeah. This political correctness is out of control.
It's out of control. I mean, POTUS, penis on the unusual side.
And I also like the tweet by Yusuf Roach, who tweeted, "Wakanda could have used vibranium to solve the AIDS epidemic, but yeah, let's build more flying armored elephants or whatever." Yusuf was on the show last week. He's hilarious. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the info on whatever app you're listening to this episode on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
I think we are going to go out on some Steve Lacy, who's just, man, from the internet, but just a great guitar player, a producer, really, really into his music. We've played some of his produced songs before, but this is one of his tracks called "Some" by Steve Lacy. And this will definitely get your big toe just jumping around your boot a little bit.
Jumping around, eh?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Can I have